Hi, this is Gary Barkalow for another Campfire Conversation. And tonight we have one of our Basecamp members as our guest, and it's Kevin Miles. Kevin, if you don't already know him, and some of you are new to Basecamp now, Kevin has had this amazing journey that we're going to be talking about. One of the things that he's doing right now that we've all been experiencing is he started a publishing company called Heart and Life, and he'll talk more about that. But you're familiar with Michael Thompson's book, Search and Rescue, and we've had Michael on talking about that. And he published that book, and now he's published an additional book for Pablo. As many of you know, you've been contributors as far as editing and putting your eyes on it and your reactions. And so this is the man who has been doing that, and this will be a fascinating conversation with Kevin about his journey. And Kevin and I had a conversation just a couple hours ago to kind of figure out how we wanted to do this in just the 40 minutes that we want to have recorded. And this is going to be fascinating. And so it's not only going to be Kevin and I, but Jeff is going to be joining us as well in this call, and possibly Sam. So, Kevin, thank you for doing this call.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you. And thank you, all the guys that are out there listening. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, you know what, Kevin, why don't you jump in with this fascinating story that you were sharing with me earlier of how it was just the merging of, you know, the desire of your heart for this Go the Distance ministry that you started and what was going on with that, and then your background with working with Zondervan and operating a Family Life bookstore. Not Family Life. No, what is it called? Family Christian Bookstore.
Family Christian. Yeah,
Family Christian Bookstore. And there are so many elements. Why don't you start right there for a second? Start us into your journey.
Sure. Thanks. Well, it was back in 2001, and I had just spent the first 10 years of my career out of school working for Family Christian Stores. And from 1991 to 2001, and I was downsized out of my position at Family Christian Stores as the national promotions manager for the chain. And this was a company that I really had just poured my heart and soul into. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. I was a store manager. I was a district manager. I was a music buyer. I was in marketing a couple different times. And so I just had a huge love for Christian retail. And so in 2001, when all of a sudden I am downsized because the company wasn't growing as much, and I was in a position that they felt they could eliminate, I was really struck with the first time in my life that I needed to be able to look for something else. And I was searching. And as kind of a guy that's been in books for the past 10 years, I'd run across a ton of books for men. And but Wild at Heart, it popped out at me. And frankly, I was skeptical. But I picked that book up in 2001, and having read Sacred Romance prior to that and loved it, I gave Wild at Heart a try and read it pretty fast, but got through with it, and I said, is this for real? And I was also saying, I hope this is for real. And it was really the first time in my life that I had ever read a book twice. I started reading it again right away, much more slowly. But it was in that journey of kind of that June 2001 time period where it started me on this journey of, boy, I started asking a lot of questions about myself. So it was 2003 that I decided to go to a boot camp in October of 2003 because the message of Wild at Heart had stirred me so much. That is when I first heard you, Gary. And I had just sensed the stirring that I wasn't not going to be at that time. I had been working for Zondervan Publishing and the publishing side of things for the previous 2 years. So I had about a 6 or an 8 month window of being unemployed in 2001 before I started working at Zondervan. And So I just had the sense in 2003 that I wasn't going to be at Zondervan for a long time, and I was being called into ministry then, and I just didn't know how it was going to shake out. So in 2005, it was really apparent, though, that either I was going to have to leave or they were going to replace me at my position in Zondervan. And it was also the time in my life where I had to read the writing on the wall and say, instead of asking what the world needs, I needed to ask myself what makes me come alive and go do that, because that's what the world needed. And in my community, that's really what happened. So I left at the very beginning of 2006. Zondervan, I left the career life, frankly, of pursuing upper or middle management in a large corporation, the security that comes with that, to step out into the unknown without the backing of a previous, you know, independent wealth situation, to start Go the Distance Ministries. And it all started back by going back and looking at my desires.
Hmm. Okay, so that, I mean, that was a huge, well, there's two sides. There was a huge risk you took in doing that, but in many ways, in the sense that God was kind of forcing your hand, right? Both with your work,
right,
with Family Christian Bookstores, and then introducing this book to you and what was stirring in your heart. I mean, there was something, it sounds like Go the Distance kind of erupted out of you.
It really did. I mean, it came out of a time in my life where I was going through, I think it was hitting this, like, a major crisis of belief that I was afraid to let go of the security, and I was afraid to surrender my income and my insurance and all the benefits that come with it in order to step out and follow God out into the unknown. And I felt like he forced my hand in that, to the point where I hit a major slide at the end of 2004 and 2005. I hit a really bad depression. And it was, I think, and what happened was, I could only just hang on. There were times in my life in that year where I just had to persevere. I had hope. But it was a very dark time for me, and I didn't understand what was happening. And God, through that hardship, I think was really saying, I'm going to reform you, I'm going to renew you, but you got to go through some hard stuff. You need to let go of some stuff you've been really hanging on to. And it was really out of that process of hanging in there during the hard times that he really revealed to me that I have what it takes to persevere through hard times. And that's where I think the message of Go the Distance comes from. Specifically gave me Hebrews 12, the first verse there, just talking about how Jesus, you know, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. We needed to run in with perseverance. And I just thought, you know, if his spirit is truly in me, then I have the ability to hang in here and to be able to go the distance and to persevere through whatever hardship is thrown my way. And out of that came a message to be able to give others, and particularly men, that they had what it takes to hang in there, to go the distance, to not give in to the less wild lovers and false comforters that so many of them get sucked into during those hard times. And so the ministry is really birthed out of that, and it stays with me to this day. And it's a lot of the guys I work with and couples that my wife and I work with, and women that my wife works with.
Mm. Well, it sounds like, Jeff, it sounds like this is a great story of stepping out in the frontier, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. And, you know, it actually, the truth of it is it's such a dignifying thing when the Lord presents you with an opportunity to go out into the unknown. because he's really kind of graduating you in a sense, you know, and he's going, you know, you're ready to do that, because there's no way you can go out into the unknown if you don't have some clarity on that God is really good, you know, at the end of this thing, you know, that he's actually a good father, and that you have some healing in your own wounds, you know, that you know some of your own glory stepping into the unknown. Because if you didn't, you get shot down real quick, you know, out there.
Right.
And so, you know, as you're telling that story, I'm just loving it, because I can totally relate to that, you know. And all those transitions going from the known to the unknown have to be remarkably difficult on you, you know, for us to break free the shackles of safety and security and comfort. Is amazingly difficult for every one of us to do that, you know, and yet, you know, here's this wild God, you know, offering you this invitation to a frontier that, you know, it's like, man, if you stay on the other side, you know exactly what it's going to be like over there, or you take this risk to go, and I love the way you said it, you know, I was without independent wealth situation, you know. A polite right. way of saying, I'm broke. I don't have any money to do this, right? You know? And so, you know, so there's this, right? I mean, so it's got to be so pleasing. You know, when Paul says, you know, that it's faith that pleases the Father, you know, it's faith. And so it's so beautiful to hear a story like that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
And I'm hoping that the rest of the conversation is, hey, what'd you find out there, you know? When you went out there, what'd you discover, right? You know, tell us what'd you find out about yourself out there.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah. So keep going, Kevin. And again,
sure.
By the way, I love the name of this ministry, Go the Distance, because obviously it came out of your understanding this lesson of perseverance. And gosh, it should be the byline of all of our lives, that we went the distance, you know. So keep going with your story, because I know there's so much more about to come in your story here.
Right. So, and like Jeff was just alluding to, you can't do this without the Father's love. And I just can't emphasize that enough and what happened to me. Back in 2003, when I was at the Wild at Heart boot camp at Frontier Ranch there, I really had been holding my earthly father at such a high level of expectation for him to come through for me, for him to meet these needs, these deep needs that I had as a young boy that he never did. My folks were divorced when I was 9, and there was a lot of abandonment issues and I think a resultant bitterness that happened. So what happened, though, at boot camp was just this amazing replacement. And I'd been a Christian since I was 14 years old, but it was the first time I really felt a God. I mean, I heard him say, Kevin, it's okay. You can let your dad off the hook now. And that was huge for me then to have him say, I am going to father you. I am going to father you. I am going to take you on the rest of your journey. I am never going to leave you or forsake you. And I just somehow believed it there in such a way that it really altered the course of my life from that time on. So it was this invitation of God that he would come and father me. He would be the one to initiate me. And I know a lot of other guys that are probably listening tonight have had those same type of experiences, and it's so good. Collectively, it's awesome, but when it comes individually to a man, it is just so unique and beautiful. And so out of that, I felt like God was sort of taking me back through this cowboy stage that I never got from my dad, even into the beloved son stage, where it's just, I love you, I like you, I like spending time with you. And just, you're my boy. And out of that, I just felt myself growing up and gaining some strength, real kindness and strength, and to fight for my wife and to be the warrior. And as I was growing and maturing, I started coming across these other guys that had, did you get this from your dad? Did you get this, you know, from any man in your life? And so many men were saying, no, I don't, you know, I never got initiated. I had to find out how to be a man on my own and maybe in other ways that are inappropriate to what real good, healthy, godly, authentic masculinity is. And so I started coming across these rites of passage. And it was really through that that I began to talk to other fathers about, have you ever done something like this for your own son? Have you ever, blessed him into manhood? Have you ever taken him on a journey through initiation and training? And no, I don't even know how to get started. And so it was all out of that that my first book came about, honestly, through another crisis that I found myself in of really coming to a point of having no money and deciding that I need to write a book about how to do a passage into manhood. And so that's where the next crisis of belief and really the next big risk I had to take was, do I have what it takes to be an author?
Okay, so this is amazing. Your first crisis you face is a layoff, and that's what that was kind of the impetus in getting you to start go the distance. Now you're having another crisis financially, and this is what kind of pushes you to write this book, right? Am I reading that right?
Yeah. Well, that sounds kind of funny, but what happened at the beginning of 2009 is several donors to the ministry, but one in particularly was extremely generous. And at the beginning of 2009, he a situation came up where he could no longer donate to the level that he had been for the past 18 months. So I was out about 40% of my income. And it was a bit of, do I go back into the workforce into the degree that I used to be and know and am comfortable with in some degrees, yet there wasn't a lot of hiring going on, or do I keep pursuing God and where is he going to take us next? And it was frankly out of that where some guys had come around me and said, Kevin, we've been doing these rites of passage workshops where we basically bring dads together, show them how to give their son a initiation, and teach them the steps on how to put something together for their son, and then basically turn them loose to be able to do the very same thing with their sons in time. So it was a training workshop that I put together, and some guys were saying, well, you know what, I can't make it to your workshop, can you give me some other information? And they were basically saying, do you have a book? Do you have something that you could show me how to do this for my son? Because I don't understand it. And because they never got it themselves. So to cut to the chase, I decided to, okay, I'm going to step out and write all that I've researched in the past 5 to 6 years about rites of passage and put it into a book called It Passage to Manhood, because I saw a need that so many other books, even Eldridge, some of these other very talented writers, Robert Lewis, Brian Molitor, some of these other guys that have studied passages for twice as long as me, had already put together some incredible material. And I was always sort of thinking, why should I put something together when all these other guys have something mm-hmm. equally as good, if not better? And then came sort of the sentence into my heart that said, well, Kevin, those guys don't have your voice. And your voice is what I want to hear. And your voice is what these men need to hear, not theirs. You can point them to theirs, but they want to hear from you. And it was just this sense of assurance and confidence it gave me to then write and to put everything into a format where guys could get in and out of it fairly quickly and put their thoughts down and get moving on the process of initiating their son. So that's what came about in the beginning, you know, like in April of 2009. And from there, I fell in love with putting a book together. I had never done that before. And although I knew how to do it philosophically, I had an eye for design, I just came to just love the process of putting together a book. And some people go, it's got to be crazy. And for some people, I'm sure it is. But for me, it's just like a huge journey. And I just love helping others navigate the waters on putting a book together from beginning to end and having that experience on the retail side for so long, having the experience on the publishing side for so long, even though it was just in one particularly strain of the publishing world at that point, I found that all of that put together can really help an author understand the world that they're getting into in terms of publishing. There's a lot there.
Yeah, and Jeff, obviously jump in anytime too, but I am so struck by, I mean, what I'm hearing is this, you know, I talk some at the calling intensive and the retreat, the idea at the end of, there seems to be this pattern of God, you know, he disrupts, then he dismantles, then he rebuilds and he releases. And this idea of disrupting and dismantling, you know, it just is here so much with, he comes and he disrupts, and then you become aware of his desire in your heart, and you move in that direction. And then he disrupts again, and then you become aware of this desire in your heart, and you go that direction. And it's about to happen again, you know. This is just an amazing thing to hear it like this.
For the guys that weren't at the base camp gathering, we had seen a clip from 180 degrees south where this guy, Jeff Johnson, says that the greatest adventures answer questions that you didn't even know to ask before you began the journey. And what's interesting about hearing your story, Kevin, is that you set out into the unknown and you have this, you see this need, right? This initiation into manhood, and then you have the crisis, you know, the money's not there. And then you have this burden to write this thing, you know. But in order to do it, God had to say, you have a voice. Yeah. And that is so beautiful to hear because where you got it from. You didn't get it from, a friend or something like that. You know, to hear that from God, that you have a voice. And then the second part of the mystery is that you're now helping other guys get their voice. And you couldn't do that if you didn't find your own voice first.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it was frankly that assurance that I got from God. And guys, we talked a lot about Gary. I think you mentioned that the only one who underestimates our own ability is us. You know, God and Satan don't, but we do. And that's where I was there for so long. I just had this lack of confidence in my own abilities. People would say, Kevin, you don't give yourself enough credit. And I didn't understand that because I thought that was prideful to give myself too much credit. And I think there is a point of that, but there's also a point of not giving yourself enough credit when you've got something that's really God-given, and He wants to partner with you to be able to speak to the world. And that's where I really entered in to this. I'm going to stay in that. I'm just going to stay in that. I'm going to stay with not underestimating my own abilities and offer something, even though I don't know exactly how it's going to look on the other side. I began to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that false humility causes us to think that, well, we can't step into who we really are. And that doesn't do anybody any good. You know, God is the one who's given you the gift. And
right.
That's how he wants to operate in your life. And if you're not taking that gift or acknowledging it, there's a block there going on. You know,
right.
What you have to offer is not being offered to the world around you. And you're right. And I think the truth of it is, it is kind of humbling to know who you are. It's not a prideful thing, actually. You know,
right?
You know, and
So,
I've just become more true, more real, and through that, frankly, have got to know Michael. I don't know. Were you going to say something, Gary?
Well, yeah, and I know you're about to get into the next part of the story, and I was going to say, here's one of the things that I'm seeing as well as a pattern, and all these patterns that I'm seeing in your story feel, you know, very familiar to my story and the men I know here that are listening too, and because it's such a common thing. But, you know, here it is. There's some disrupting event. It eventually is the catalyst that gets you to pursue your desire. You get in your desire, there's another disrupting event. Things are good walking your desires, and then all of a sudden they get hard again, which requires perseverance, going the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so here you kind of write this book, and it doesn't go quite the way you were hoping as far as I remember, as far as what you were hoping it would do for funding the ministry.
Right.
And so here it becomes hard again. But in the midst of pursuing your desire and loving writing the book and putting this message on your heart into writing, you discover that, man, I love this whole process. You know, I mean, I've loved it from beginning to end. So a desire is being awakened, a deeper desire, not a tangential desire, but a deeper desire.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, circumstances, because of disruption, are about to change, which is going to take you to the next thing. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So at the end of 2009, I really came to the point where the book Passage to Manhood did not do, it didn't like fly off the shelves, and it really wasn't, it helped a little bit, but it didn't, you know, it wasn't doing great guns, and I didn't really plan for it to be that way. I knew I was stepping my foot into the waters at that point, but I needed something else. So I started working for an automotive company in town I was working on the line. I was putting together parts and very manual labor, you know, $8 an hour for 3 days a week, and the other 2 days a week or so, 2 or 3 days a week, I was working doing ministry stuff to help, you know, put food on the table and things. And then I was invited, frankly, to come to a tribal gathering, they called it back then, in December of 2009, and down in North Carolina. And Gary, at your, I think it was you and Michael Thompson and Rick Z from Zoe, we all rode together and had a chance to meet Michael. And at that point, I think you had mentioned something like, you know, Michael has written a book. And I was like, oh, that's great. So I kind of got a chance to sit with him on the deck there, have a stogie and a beer, and we were talking, and he was just mentioning that he had written this book, and he had this editor, and everything was going okay. And so I said, that's great, good for you. I'm glad. I'm just happy for you, you know, not thinking anything else was really going to come from it. But then about a month after that, Michael called me and says, my editor has to bail. She's got two aging parents that need full-time attention, and she can't give any more attention to my book. I need help. And I went, oh, okay. And through a very, significant series of events, I took a look at his book, Search and Rescue. I think it was even called something else at that time. Maybe it was just in the title change at that point. But I said, wow, this book has got some potential. And so I knew I needed to find an editor right away. And the editor that I found had some time, and boom, we were able to start working on Search and Rescue at that point, like in February of 2010. So, and I went, wow. And it's something in me just said, oh, this, I love this stuff. And it was within probably 3 months of working on that together where I said, Michael, I can't work, I can't keep doing this, working on the line and, also giving the attention that your book needs. I'm going to have to, step off the line. And he said, well, that's okay. I'm going to pay you. And I was shocked when I had heard that because I was really expecting to get paid. I was going to do this sort of as a favor, but he said he was going to pay me. And I thought, man, this is amazing to be able to get paid for something that I love, for something that helps, and to offer that to somebody and to really help them and encourage them and to give them the hope that they need to finish well and to go the distance in what they're doing. So it wasn't long after that that I quit, probably in May of 2010, and pretty much devoted full-time to ministry and to publishing. And it was in August of 2010 that I had Michael come up for a three-day writer's boot camp and to be able to sort of lay out the finishing touches on the book before it really needed to go to the next level. And I remember putting the copyright page together, writing Zoe Ministries Press, you know, big old Zoe logo at the bottom of that first page, and so proud of it. You know, Michael, I showed it to Michael. There it is, bro. Here it is for you. And he goes, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no. That can't be Zoe Publishing. It's got to be Go the Distance Publishing. And it was at that point I frankly said, oh, really? He goes, Kevin, I'm not the publisher. You're the publisher. And there goes again, just that, I don't know, false humility thing again, Jeff, or what. But I ended up saying, well, let me tell you, Michael, what happened to me about a year and a half ago. I had this vision that all of these authors, these people that have been impacted by Ransom Heart Ministries, and particularly the heart message, are starting to find their voice and put books together, and they're going about finding ways to get their books published in different publishers, self-publishing, different formats and everything. And I saw this huge need again to what if we could all have one covering, an umbrella, and have one voice to be able to speak that out into the atmosphere, into the world, through the internet, through however, to be able to show that we have authors who are legitimate, have found their voice, can articulate a message, and want to bring that to the world. And Michael said, I think you got something here. I want to be the first book on your new publishing label. And frankly, that's where Heart and Life came from.
See, I don't know if you see this this trend or not, Gary, but, you know, we work with guys, and, you know, it's like ho-hum, you know, they kind of like us and stuff like that. And then eventually they meet Michael Thompson, and then they go to the next level, you know. And then that's it. Their life changes once they meet Michael Thompson. And you know, it's a common story. I'm hearing it all the time now, you know.
You know what? It really is true. I bump into that all the time as well. And I do want to say, even with the guys in the chat line, that, Michael, I want to say, honestly, you talked about you want to learn how not only to be the golfer but the caddy. And you really are good as a caddy with men, how you were able to say to Kevin, no, you need to be the publisher here. You need to do this. And honestly, I stand up and applaud you for that. That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'd love to say right here, too, is that, you know, in the beginning of the book, in the acknowledgments, there are two people that I pick out that really helped encourage me to stay in this with what I kept confronting or facing was so discouraging for me that I wanted to stop writing. And the two people that spoke into my life, it was Kevin Miles and it was Tom Caldwell, who has also joined us on this. And these two guys kept saying, you need to stay in. This is important. This needs to be said. And it was huge for me. So, Kevin, you played a big part in It's Your Call being done as well. As Tom, you're listening, you have as well. So, and the other thing I love as well in this is that Kevin, in the midst of things being hard, you have Go the Distance. You're working on a manufacturing line now to survive, and you're very aware of what you love, and you're just offering it. You're just offering it to the point that you need to say to Michael, I love doing this for you, but if I'm going to give it what you need, if you want to stay with me, I'm going to have to quit what I'm doing to do this. I love that because you offered it freely, God comes back and says, Kevin, this is where we're going, and I'm going to help you do this now. I love that.
Right. Yeah. And it's just led to offering it to now the next person. It's going to be Pablo. His book is Holding On Loosely. It's a wonderful book, and we're getting some just amazing feedback on it. And the website and the pre-sale launches November, the first week of November, and the book comes out the first week of December. And it's what a joy, what an absolute riot it is, and to work with these guys, what a privilege and an honor, and to allow me to have a look into their lives and to be able to handle their heart well. I can't thank God enough, and I can't thank him enough for offering some really timely words through you, Gary, frankly, to me when I needed it all those years. It's been so good.
I'm glad I could do that. So, Kevin, let me ask you now. So right now, in the midst of, and obviously you still have Go the Distance, and, you know, you put up on the Basecamp site, you know, the trip you did with men to Glacier National Park, and you're doing all these things, and you've got Heart and Life Publishers going. What feels like the biggest resistance? When it comes to Go the Distance, you know, this theme that is so true in our life, what is it? It feels like you have to fight all the time. The biggest enemy, that type of thing, for you.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a battle. My biggest battle is belief in myself and others' belief in the larger story, and it's not just about Kevin and Lori, but it's about God, and it's about kingdom, and getting them to believe in that. And when that doesn't happen, I get pretty discouraged, and it throws me, and I have to kind of reorient myself again and just say, you know, not even Jesus got everyone. You know, some people fell away, and he didn't go running after them. He just stayed steady. He just stayed, you know, persevering and hanging in there and doing what his daddy told him to do. And that's what I've been trying to be faithful to, is just hanging in there, and even through the hard times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lesson to be learned in all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that one of the things that I'm hearing you say, but maybe in different words right now, is this idea that maybe what happens is we become, you know, maybe I could say kindly, unintentionally disoriented, and to the point that we don't even know we're disoriented. And then God comes in and he disrupts in order to reorient us again so we can keep walking. I mean, I'm just hearing that in your story, and I'm thinking, gosh, that feels like a lot of my story as well. And Jeff, knowing some of yours, I just think it's very easy to become disoriented and not even be aware of it. That's how disoriented we are.
Right.
Until something very disruptive happens.
Right, right. I love it. Yes.
You know,
and that's why
just listening to,
yeah, go ahead.
Just listening to your story, what's interesting about sort of going out into the unknown are the guys that you eventually will meet out there. You know, other rangers that have, you know, been out on the frontier a little bit, you know. And so it's interesting, you know, that, you know, God will bring a guy like Michael Thompson into your life. And they're absolutely essential to supply you while you're out there, you know, to give you food and encouragement to keep going. They're absolutely essential. And what's so strange about the unknown is that you find out you absolutely need these guys, but you also taste there's also a loneliness, where all the distractions go away and all your tricks for survival are mute, you know. And and it's just you and God, and it's really scary, you know. And so while you have good communion with others, you taste a certain loneliness and unsurety out there. You know, it just all comes with the journey. You know,
right? Yeah, and if you didn't have that, you know, intimacy with God, it would be impossible. But then He does bring others into your life that become rich friends. And I wouldn't trade this journey for anything. I mean, it's been amazing. Tough, but absolutely worth it.
I can look back and I can say the one thing that I really need are those friends and good character, you know, that are of good character. That is such an absolutely essential ingredient to those guys that you meet out there and meet, you know, to continue.
Yeah.
Kevin, were there times, and this, I don't know the answer, this is a sincere question, but were there times in your journey where did you pull some men together to say, or a man, a friend, and just say, help me think through my life. What do you see here? Are you seeing something I'm not seeing? Or was it more guys and God helping you orient kind of out of the blue, little surprising things happening? Well, how did that work for you?
Well, allies have just been incredibly huge. Men that I trust, and I have had the privilege of a guy right down the road from me, actually. His name is Jerry Lind. I think he's on the call.
Who is on?
Hi, Jerry.
Yep.
Yeah, love Jerry. He helped me more stand than pretty much anyone else in those early years. And I needed a friend. He was there. He was able to just hang in there with me. And I needed that, somebody to handle my heart well. And he was a big part of that. The guys from Hearts Alive and Free were a big part of that. And now I have other guys, frankly, and we've kind of moved on and morphed. And I've got kind of a rear guard of about four guys that I can call. And I've also given them permission to, be in my face and kind of, you know, watch me and call on me and, you know, what are you seeing in me? And brave souls that they are, but I just need it. I just absolutely need it. And I can cry on their shoulder if I need to. Huge. I don't care if you're in ministry or working, you know, on the line or whatever you're doing. I think everybody needs to have that rear guard of men that are the guys that have your back no matter the cost.
And you know what strikes me as you're saying this is who Jerry Lind is. He really is. He is that faithful friend who has big shoulders to say, you know, you can cry in one, and you can cry in the other one. You lean on me. And it is just such a gift that Jerry is to us, who is the father, the friend. He is a go-the-distance man as well, and I love that about him. And it's true of you. You know, you were telling me that one of the things that God spoke to you, and I saw it with your interaction with me, is you very much are an encourager, right?
Mm-hmm. I like to give hope to people. It's not that I just even try. Sometimes I just end up doing it and not even know I was going to do that. It just sort of happens. And that's another thing that, as I've owned that and handled it humbly, it's just been an amazing gift that I can give and bring to others. Yeah. And to myself and to my family when we needed it.
And the thing, Kevin, about you, and I'd like us to wrap us up in the next 60 seconds here with our thoughts, but the thing with you, here's what I've experienced. There are people that are encouragers, but they're kind of, you know, their encouragement is being excited. You are a different type of an encourager. You are the encourager who, you just know that when Kevin Miles speaks, he's sincere. He's thought this through, and he's with you, and he's not going to leave you and then go try to just simply encourage the next person and kind of go down the line.
Yeah.
Kevin is with you, and that you have this very sincere, weighty encouragement that comes from your heart. It's remarkable.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's that means the world to me, Gary. It's that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. You know, and to this end, I think that's why my last name is Miles, because I keep going the distance.
That's really good. That's really good. So, Jeff, final thoughts. Kevin, final thoughts, and then we'll end the recording.
It's just good to have you out here as a ranger, you know, going into the unknown. I just love it that when guys do that, you know. It's so funny because when I see other men going through major disruptions, that's what excites me. All of a sudden I look at their life and I go, oh, then it's time to start looking at their life, you know, like we have gone through. And something's up here, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we didn't mention is that I really appreciate the fact that you went back to the line to put automotive parts together for a while, you know, that you just do whatever you can to offer the glory of your life. Then on your days off, you're doing it, you know. And, you know, that there's a lot to be said about that, you know. So thank you for mentioning that. That really ministers to me. So
That's good. Well, something I could offer to any of the men listening, to any of the men that are on Basecamp, if others happen to listen to this podcast at another time, is that I started a group called Passage to Manhood, Gary. And I went ahead and just put the PDF of the book. It's 26 pages, not huge or anything, but that's just a free download. I just asked that if you could use that in any way with your sons, grandsons, anyone that you have influence over that is an up-and-coming young man, feel free to use it. I also have them for sale on my website for $4.99. And to others that want to help get the heart out, too, just to be a help and a tool there, and whatever I can do. I just wanted to put that out there for all the guys on Basecamp. Thanks for their support.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a really great gift you've just given all of us. So, yep, we'll do that. So, Kevin, thank you so much for doing this and sharing your life with us. This has been a great time around the fire hearing your story. Thank you.
It's been huge for me too, and Gary, I love you guys, and thanks.
You're welcome. Okay.